Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Go ahead and dial on in. It's on a graphic design. Just look at that graphic design, and we're gonna talk for a minute while you play. All right, I'll try to take some note up. All right. Good evening, our radio listening audience. We're glad to have you on the air this evening. This is Lemuel Pierce. And this evening, we are going to be talking with a special guest. We're so glad to have you, Martin Abdullah. We're just waiting on him to sign in. But nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and get started with our show this evening. First of all, we want to talk about the greatest thing as far as what we need to do as far as bringing value into our lives. And our special guest this evening is going to be coming in from Raleigh, North Carolina, as we're waiting for him to check in here. He is a phenomenal entrepreneur, which he deals with the lives of a lot of the youth. As he has done quite a few things in the past history, as far as from sponsoring different types of camps, basketball, real estate, raising young men and adding value to their lives for over probably the last 15 to 20 years. Not necessarily native from out of the Raleigh area community, but it's made a great pillar as far as doing a lot of great things in this area. So as we await for him to come on and go ahead on and log in here.
Hey, man, you can finish gassing me up. I'm in here.
How you doing this evening?
I hear you gassing me up over there.
Mr. Abdullah, welcome to the show. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing just fine, sir. Hope everybody else okay. is.
Okay, great. Welcome to Eyes on You, and we're so glad to have you this evening as a part of our community here in the area. And basically what I want to start out with is just asking you some questions as far as exactly what is it that you do in the community here? When what role do you play as far as some of the organizations that you are in and that you are associated with? Tell us some things about yourself and some of the great things that you do in the community as what you do to give back. Our radio audience are listening right now. They're tuned in. And once again, we're excited to have you, and we're here to learn from you as what we are wanting to do, to know what we can do, to try to not only give back to the community, but to add value and be a help to, you know, someone else as we continue to believe in helping establish making people greater than, you know, who they are today.
Okay, well, I'll start, you know, and I can get long-winded sometimes, so if I started giving too much information, you can just cut me off and we can move on to the next, but since you kind of left it open-ended there, I'm gonna start here. I gave you a little bio. I'm originally from Washington, North Carolina, down on the eastern coast of North Carolina. Came to Raleigh, attended NC State University, obtained a degree in sociology, concentration in criminal justice, also having in African-American studies, and I, after the degree, I spent about 6 years on the police department here in Raleigh, where I became a hostage negotiator and different things. I spent about 16 years in real estate and just gained a variety of life experiences. And from all of that, at this point in my life and this stage of my career, what I've kind of focused on is just, you know, letting those life experiences benefit somebody else, mainly the youth and particularly young men, because I think there's the most need there. Recently, I've been asked to be on the board of the Cultural Enrichment Services here in Raleigh. We participate with a host of different programs and events, mainly a lot associated with the Museum of History here in North Carolina in Raleigh. And along with that, I've been with the Bags Foundation about 15, 20 years now. And that's a nonprofit organization. The acronym stands for Boys and Girls Succeeding. And with that, we help kids with everything from SAT prep to etiquette classes to just a whole host of things focused at the youth and a few things to help with the elderly. We're a food pantry. We delve out food to families in need. And in addition to that, I also participate with Camp Humanity, which is a program that's run down in Greenville, North Carolina, where a group of kids come down for a camp for a week. And we've got about 88 acres of land out there. And the kids learn how to plant a garden and interact with each other. And we just teach principles of humanity, just kindness towards each other and how to work together and get along. So those are my main focuses with that. And I spend a lot of time with AAU basketball. I've been coaching AAU basketball about 15, 20 years now. So spend a lot of time with that, and that's just my focus right now as far as giving back to the community at this stage of my life. So that's about it for me.
Okay. Sounds great. Wow. You have quite a successful story as far as a lot of things that you've done as far as to give back to the community. You know, one of the things that I see as far as our youth today, which is something that looks like you really specialize in, is I have to say they didn't come up like we did. They're not coming up as the way that we were raised. So, you know,
right.
One of my questions to you is as much as you do with the youth, and with a lot of our audiences that's listening today, I feel like that we have a hard time in raising our kids in the society that we deal with today. With a lot of the exposure as far as the internet, the radio, the exposure from TV, telephones, cell phones, even internet, they're exposed to so many different things that we didn't have access to. They have so many options. What are one of the things or the focuses that you do, which it sounds like you've had quite a bit of success in raising and taking time to make investment in not only boys but girls also too? What are one of the key factors that you do in making a difference in these young kids' lives as far as the way that we was raised in the what's happening today in the tough times that it's just so hard, you know, to make an impact in these kids today? It's hard to reach them, you know.
Right.
What are some of the emphasis that you really focus on in to make a difference in their lives today?
Well, there's several things. One, of course, the kids nowadays don't grow up the way that we grew up. I mean, you know, life was a lot harder, and you know, we have a phrase that we use at our organization, the Bag Foundation. It's called "Work in Truth." And what we try to do is work in truth. And the truth of the matter is that these kids don't grow up in the hard manner that we may have, as did I. We didn't grow up in the hard manner as our parents. So that is just a cycle of life, and it's, you know, it's that ship has already sailed. We're not going to change that, nor should we want to. You know, no parent wants their children to grow up harder than what they did or in a hard life that we grew up. And as you said, there's a lot of different elements out there that are present in today's society that wasn't when we were. So where I like to work in truth is that we're not going to prevent the youth from being exposed to the technological things, to the societal influences that are out there. So our best bet is to try to equip them with the right thought processes, with the right mentality as they approach these different exposures so that they can use them in the right manner to advance ourselves as opposed to go backwards or as opposed to becoming complacent. That's where I like to work at. Not necessarily, you know, because there's a lot of these things, technology and these kids are so advanced that, you know, it's difficult for most adults to keep up. So I like to work in the things that I know that I can keep up with. I like to share my experiences and you know, the things that I went through so that they can get the lesson from it vicariously without having to actually experience it themselves.
Right.
And that requires a skill on the adult part who has the job of imparting the lessons from those experiences that they experience to someone else without them having to experience it themselves. So that's what I like to work at. And the first part of that, and the most important part of that, is to be present, is to be present. And that's what I try to any adult or parent or somebody that's trying to influence a young person's life, that's the biggest thing I impart to them is to be present. You got to be there. I know it gets frustrating sometimes when you're dealing with your child or when you're dealing with a youth and, you know, there's that age difference, there's that communication difference, there's that thought process difference, but you still got to show up. Even when it gets hard, you still got to show up. You got to be present. Uh-huh. One thing I've imparted to people is that, you know, I played basketball all my life. You know, I've coached basketball and teach kids about basketball. And one thing that we learn in basketball, part of shooting a basketball is muscle memory.
Right.
And if physically, you know, it's been studied and showed where you have to repeat a muscle action 200 times before that muscle remembers that action. So
wow.
I try to treat that the same way when I'm dealing with the youth and so on and so forth. You know, you got to keep giving it to them. Even when it seems like they're not receiving it, you got to keep giving it to them. And you never know whether it's that first time or whether it's that 200th time that you tell them the same information again to where it actually clicks and registers. So part of that is just being present and making sure you're doing your part.
Good stuff. I know that I feel like that as not only examples as leaders, as parents, that's a very good point. Sometimes we can get complacent as far as when we are dealing with the youth, even some older people too. You know, we get tired as far as going over the same thing over and over and over and over again. But that's a good point. Make that impact into them and don't give up on them. Keep going. So I know that for a fact this is something that sometimes, you know, even as parents today, you know, my dad used to always tell me, hey, there's no instruction manual as far as how to raise a child. You know, each and every last one of them are different. But if we can have a basic format as far as the foundation, what we can do to make a difference, you know, in our kids' life today, it definitely would change the world, you know. I'm still trying to figure out why they still walking around with the pants hanging off their behind. I hadn't figured that one out yet, but little simple things like that, you know, teaching them basic skills of how to be presentable when they go to an interview, how to start your own business. But, you know, these are things that we're not focused on today. And it's not just the young black youth. It's youth, you know,
right.
Because they're so impressionable from others. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that parents – today's world need to go to school to learn how to raise their kids. I'm serious. Because it's a whole totally different type of animal that's out here today that we deal with in trying to give directions to these kids, man. I mean, they just completely just can't understand them. And it's not that we have to understand them, but it's hard to give them direction.
when they have right. so many other influences that's outside of the house. They go to school, mm-hmm. teachers not getting paid enough money, so the teachers are not really making an impact in their life because they're not caring because they don't feel like that they're appreciated. They leave out of the school system. They come home, on the way home, they're running into older kids that's making an impact in their life. And then when they get home, they got to deal with the mom and dad that's frustrated because they're not getting paid enough on their job, so they don't want know what to do because they also have issues in their relationships. So all the way around, the impact as far as what's going on as a moving forward program, I think today's parents need to go to school to learn how to even raise kids. Not that they are bad parents, but they just don't know mm-hmm. what to do. They just don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, because the only thing that we know what to do is how to do what we knew how our parents raised us, which I call learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if we only know what we learned when we was younger, then that don't work on kids today.
Right, right. Well, I'll say this. In my working in truth, one of the things, you know, in truth is that I believe in calling a spade a spade. And it is what it is. And out there today, you do have some bad parents. You just have some bad parents. And, you know, I don't have the answer as far as, you know, necessarily correcting the root of the problem. But I'll go back to what I said before. Part of it is just being present. Part of it is just making a decision to be present, you know, in your
right.
child's life. And, you know, but there are bad parents out there. And some of that is coming from, I watched the program. And if you notice, the problem is that most of the parents, or a lot of the parents of today, they're not, but they're barely a generation removed from their own child.
Mm.
They're barely one generation removed from their own child. A lot of the parents today started having their children at 16, 17 years old.
Mm.
So, you know, when that child becomes a teenager, they're barely in their 20s itself. So, you know, there's a lot of life experiences that they haven't even experienced themselves yet, so they can't impart that wisdom to their child. And I don't know what the correction is for that problem, but it's a bad trend, and it's leading to a lot of bad parents. And that's not to say that just because they're young that they are – you know, destined to be bad parents. But, you know, with age comes wisdom, with age comes experience. And they just, a lot of parents just don't have that. And they take the approach a lot of times that they, you know, they're not finished living their life, you know, to want to be parents. I watched the program and, it was something that the person in the program said, and it kind of stuck with me. They said, I called my grandmama mama. I called my mama by her first name, and I call my mama boyfriend's uncle. So when you really take a minute to think about what that statement is saying, you know, and what that leaves for the child that's being raised, it's, you know, it's a really a sad testament on today's state of parenthood. And what the answer is for that, I don't know. But I do know that it's got to start somewhere with a conversation. It's got to start with somebody in that equation holding somebody else accountable, whether it's the grandmama that's holding the parent accountable and the child and saying, you're not going to call me mama, or whether it's the mama holding the child accountable and saying, you're not going to call me by my first name, or whether it's the child holding the parent accountable and saying, I'm not going to know your boyfriends or your girlfriends. They're not my uncle. So, you know, there's accountability. You know, somebody's got to hold that child accountable for his pants being down around his butt. You know, so there's an element of accountability, and I think that also, again, goes back to somebody's got to be present. Somebody's got to answer roll call.
Yeah, that's definitely very much so, and those are the things that we are missing right now in the youth is nobody's wanting or willing to step up and take the responsibility. So,
right.
You know, that's the big thing that's going on now. Okay, listen, as one of the board members at the Cultural Enrichment Center Museum of Art, tell me about some of the things that you do as far as how you are affiliated with the youth and the community, and exactly what do you do there? Because I want the community to
At the end of the show, I'll be able to reach out to you and find out some more information how they can be a part of, you know, what you do there.
Right. Well, it's cultural enrichment services, and I just recently joined the board with them last week, as a matter of fact. And we have a website. Everybody can just Google it, go to the website, look at our calendar of events. We are in the process. We're having a meeting this coming weekend with the board members to put our calendar together for 2018. A lot of what we're involved in is we partner with a lot of different organizations to put on programs that, you know, exposes the public to different cultures. There is a series of different plays and different exhibits that go on at the Museum of Art and Science over on Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh, and we partner with them with those exhibits. There is a international cultural festival that goes on in downtown Raleigh. We partner at that event. And when we partner with the organization, we go in, we volunteer, we help with the marketing. We do those picks and shovel type of activities to make sure that the event goes off and things like that. So that's really what we do. It covers a wide band of different cultures, just getting exposures out there so we can come to know each other across cultural lines.
Mm.
And of course, you know, when we're involved in those programs, our first resource that we go to is the youth. We try to get youth involved as far as volunteering, as far as attending, as far as participating, just so that, you know, they can be exposed and feel like they're a part of it at the same time.
Wow, that's awesome. That's spectacular. 1 second, real quick, Mr. Abdullah, to our radio audience. Anytime if you like to ask a question or you like to make a comment or you want to, on the program that we're affiliated with this this evening, you want to talk about or make a comment or add something add to as far as you or adding value to the program here, just press 1. And our operators are standing by right now where they can just go ahead and log you in and get you set up to where you can be a part of part of the program, and so just go ahead and fire away if you like to as we are moving right along with the program, okay? Okay, so one of my things as far as when we're doing a lot of interviews or we're talking with and having a discussion on the program is that, you know, there are key things and factors that has prompted us to be who we are today. And what I want to ask you, Mr. Abdullah, is who was your role model and why was this person one of your greatest role models to turn you into this great leader into the community and has given you a passion to want to give out into the community and be a part of the youth? Who was that person that was in your life?
I probably couldn't narrow it down to one. There were several. And they were all centered around mainly my family. I was blessed. I was raised up in a two-parent household, and even with extended family support. My grandparents, my maternal grandparents, were a big role in my life. They was probably two of my biggest role models. My grandfather was a military police officer in the mid-1940s. In El Paso, Texas.
Wow.
So when you're talking about a black man being a military police officer in El Paso, Texas in the middle 40s, you know, there was a certain sternness that came with him.
Woo.
There was a certain, you know, he had a certain fortitude that he was able to pass along to me. And, you know, I appreciated that. He was a big role model early on. And then my father, you know, you're talking about a man who was self-employed, brick mason, raised 7 kids off the sweat of his own back, day in and day out. You know, that was a role model that the value of his influence didn't really become as prevalent to me until my adult life. You know, when I could fully understand some of the things that he went through as a child, you know, you just knew that daddy was working all the time. So as an adult, you know, I came to under to when you start to have children of your own and start to work yourself, you come to appreciate what it must have taken to raise 7 children off of the sweat of your own back, you know. And then you know, of course, my grandmother and my mother, you know, they were always the loving, you know, mothers that they should have been and were, and they imparted that loving side of the rigidness of being a man to keep that balance. And then
right.
as an adult, there was a spiritual leader, Wallace Muhammad, who was the son of Elijah Muhammad, and I was blessed to be his personal bodyguard for about 10 years. And he was the leader of about 3 million Muslims across the United States and other parts of the country, other
wow.
parts of the world. And I worked closely with him for 10 years, and I learned so much from him as a role model. Just a phenomenal person, phenomenal spiritual, and just tremendous humanitarian. And he just taught me
wow.
so much about, you know, the balance of being a humanitarian to everybody. So those are probably my biggest those were my biggest influences and role models.
Okay, wow, that is quite a feat to actually work so closely with such a great leader in our time. You know, that's something that's quite a privilege. You know, I wouldn't know how to act. I'll probably be telling everybody every day for 10 years. I guess what I do. No, but
yeah.
Okay. Now, I understand also too, you're an officer at the foundation, Boys and Girls Succeeding, which is called BAGS.
Yes, with the BAGS Foundation. Yes, the acronym stands for Boys and Girls Succeeding. I've been with them for about 15 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
And
give us some background
great...
as far as what exactly. Is affiliated and associated with that there, and how can we be a part of that program also too as well?
Once again, you know, we have a website. You can actually Google it and go to the website. There's BAGS, B-A-G-S, Foundation Incorporated, and the acronym stands for Boys and Girls Succeeding. And with that program, we have plenty of volunteer opportunities, participation opportunities. We service the Southeast Raleigh community. And basically, we bring youth in, and we have several different programs. One is, of course, the SAT prep, prepping our kids for taking the SAT, which is such a huge part of getting kids entrance into college. And what we do is we bring the kids in. We have an outside organization that comes in and, you know, goes through the whole SAT process with the kids. And then they actually have – we have 3 sessions where one is an instructional session, and then twice they take practice tests with us before actually going and taking the real SAT. And our kids have done tremendous with that. And all of this is done at no cost to the kids in our program.
Wow.
We have a etiquette course for the kids where an outside organization comes in and they teach an etiquette class. You know, how to be seated at a formal dinner, you know, where the silverware goes, which silverware you use for what. They get taught phone etiquette. They get taught etiquette from males to females, you know, how to introduce yourself the appropriate way to approach females. We have an I Choose Not To is one of our programs where we bring the kids in, and again, we have an outside organization that comes in, and it's basically an abstinence program. It talks to the kids about abstaining from sex. It talks to the kids about abstaining
wow.
from drugs, from gangs, from things that are detrimental to their life. We have a program called Seniors in Motion, where we open our facility up. We have a gym at our facility, which is the J.D. Lewis Center. And we open our facility up. The seniors come in. We play music. The seniors exercise in the gym, and then we have a nutritionist who comes and talks to them about eating properly, you know, for their age and things like that. We have Giving Souls. Basically, that's a program where we make available slightly used shoes to the community, and they can come in and get those. And then we're also a food pantry. So we have a food pantry to where, you know, we're part of the North Carolina Food Pantry organization, where we go to the food pantry and we're able to purchase food and have it there at our facility. And when family in need contact us, they're able to come and get, you know, get food.
Wow. Wow, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Okay, fellas, mm-hmm. good man to know right here. Make sure that you have your writing utensils ready, in place, in hand to get his information when he gives it out at the end of the show here. Good man to know. Great way to get out and be a part of the community. Great way to get your youth involved in some phenomenal activities that you probably didn't know about. So good man to know right here. He's very, very, very much involved with quite a few things here that you may not knew that was going on, and a lot of these things are cost-effective. So it's a good man to know. So, okay, Camp Humanity, tell us some information about that. How can we get involved? What exactly is it that you're doing out here for the youth, adding value to their lives? What are we doing out here in this, all these acres of land? You got a pond out there and we can go fishing?
It is. We're in the process of developing it. It's back on the back part of the acreage, and you had to go through some woods to get to it, but it's back there. And, you know, okay. We're still in the process of developing the land there. But we do have a portion that's cleared off, and we have a facility there. And it was something that was started by the Al Noor Cultural Center down in Greenville, North Carolina. Of course, my parents and several other of the generation above me started this. And basically, for 1 week during the summer, they operate the camp there. It's called Camp Humanity. And there's a group of kids. There's usually between about 8 to 20 kids down there that comes down for that 1 week. It's just a day program. And the kids go out there, and, you know, it's just and kids come from all over. We have kids that come from Virginia, from Raleigh, from, you know, the Greenville area there, and so on. I think we even had some kids come from as far away as New Jersey. But they'll come, and it's a chance for them to experience, you know, nature. And you know, nature has a way of teaching you some humanity in and of itself. They get to work in the garden. They get to plant something and actually see it come up. You know, they pull weeds, they, you know, hoe rows, and they you know, they participate in gardening, and then, you know, there's several activities that go on for them down there actually on that land. They have water sports, you know, that go on. They have a whole water set up there. There's some go-kart riding that goes on, and of course there's some classes that go on during the day just about you know, different humanitarian ways to be a humanitarian, and things like that. So that's really what goes on there. The camp is steady growing and it's expanding, and you know, and I'm becoming more and more a part of it each year. I've been involved with it now probably about 5 years, and we're just planning on it growing even more.
Wow. That is awesome. That is spectacular. You are involved in so many things. How do you have time for yourself, your own family? My goodness.
Well, you know, this is myself, and everything that I'm involved in, you know, I engage my family in it. You know, if it's good enough for me,
wow.
You know, and it's a positive thing, then I definitely steer them towards it, and they get involved in it, and they enjoy it. You know, so I just make that synonymous with me. You know, I'm at that point in my life where, you know, I've worked hard for a long time, and now it's time to invest some of that work energy into things that I enjoy and things that I see as positive. And, you know, my kids, my family, all of them get involved in it, and they enjoy it just as much as I do.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay, listen, to audience, if anyone has any questions, any comments, anything they'd like to add, please just push one, and feel free to tune in and be a part of our program. We invite you, okay? I'm moving right along. One of the things I'm curious about, you are so wildly, greatly involved.
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me, sir. You have one call holding.
Okay.
Open up the line now.
Okay, absolutely.
Caller, please state your name and begin your question.
This is Charles Abdullah. My comment, I'm very, very impressed with the conversation and discussion that has gone forth so far. And I would like to say, in this day and time when we find so many misguided young people, this is certainly uplifting to see the two of you taking on this challenge to introduce a language and concepts and some positive into the environment. And I hope that many of the young people are listening, as well as older ones, and encourage you to continue the great work you're doing. I don't have a question right now. Maybe I will later as the program goes on, but I did want to say congratulations, good work to both of you. And I pray that Almighty God continue to bless you in the future to continue to share your experiences. Thank you.
This is Yvonne. I enjoyed this program. Very good. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, callers. We'll place you on mute, and you now have another caller holding. Caller, you are live. Please state your name and begin your question.
Hi, my name is Shireen, and I have a question for Mr. Martin. As a parent, I would just like to know, how can we get involved in helping your program? And because you do so many great things out here, and I know that sometimes you may need volunteers. How can we, you know, extend our services into helping you and your great and everything that you're doing for the youth?
Okay, go ahead and respond now.
Yes, please.
Okay. As I was stating before, most of the things I'm involved in, it has the internet publicity, and you can actually gain all the information about volunteering just by accessing. If you Google the names of the organizations, the internet, the website will pop right up, and you'll be able to get all of the volunteering information, the scheduled dates for the different events and those type things there, and the blessing of the modern age technology.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. You may proceed, sir.
Thank you. All right, sounds great. I want to thank everybody for who calling in and asking questions. I love participation, and when we have these type of programs like this, because a lot of times, you know, a question is not asked is something that you won't have the information about or what you can do to make a difference in your own household or somebody else's household. Maybe your household may be under control as far as looks like the topic today is adding value to what we can do to make a difference in our youth. But a question is not asked is a question that we'll never know the answer to, okay? So if we have any questions out here or something you may be dealing with, especially with youth or child today, maybe it's a personality issue, emotional issue, we have a phenomenal man that's on the line right now who has had experience in these areas as dealing with youth. So ask your questions, okay? Please ask your questions, okay? The biggest thing, Mr. Abdullah, the biggest thing as far as what out of all the things that you do in the outcome of the youth and the beginning process of what you see when you first begin to be an example in youth lives that are not your own. What is the biggest thing that you see that changes at the end of when you release this youth away from your claws back out into society? What is the biggest thing that you see that you are able to change in youth? Because I know you've had some instances where you have, especially in the coaching seasons, where you have been with some youth from, I mean, knee-high all the way up through our high school. So what are some of the greatest things that you've seen that you've made an impact in youth that has taken place as far as the outcome that you've seen some character behaviors that have diminished? What are some of the things that you've seen you've been able to make an impact that has changed in youth?
The biggest thing that I've seen as far as an impact, this is my currently coaching now my third group of youth. And each group I've taken them from the age of 8 all the way to 17. And the biggest thing that I see, one is that there's a, for a lot of them, I coach boys, and for a lot of them, they're from single parent homes. And for a lot of them, the first thing I'll start to see is a different respect level. They'll realize that somebody's making an investment in them, and there it's not somebody that's beating them over the head, that's threatening them with doing this, that, and the other, or this, that, and the other. The main thing that they fear is losing that person that's present, especially from a male figure. That's one of the first things I see change. And then the second thing, probably the bigger thing that I see change is I see their work ethic change, not just in sports, but it changes with their grades because we hold them accountability for their grades. It changes with things at home because if their parent comes and says that, you know, they're causing a problem at home, then they can't participate in what we're doing as far as sports or things outside of sports. So that's the two biggest things I see change, and those are the changes that helps them for the rest of their life. Because if they apply the work ethic that they get from sports to other things in their life, then they're bound to be successful.
Absolutely.
And if they learn a sense of respect for others, then they're bound to be successful. So those are the two biggest things that I see change in the kids as far from a coaching perspective. That help influence them for the rest of their life. You know, I have some kids that have gone on to become pro basketball players. I have kids that have gone on to play college basketball. I've had kids that have gone on to get a job and start a family. But that simple work ethic that they develop early on in life through sports and through having somebody there, it helps carry them in whatever avenue they go off on in life.
That's awesome. Awesome. Love it. Good stuff. in dealing with the youth as far as, you know, seeing these young adults as they are coming up through young adolescence and now they're coming into teenage and they're coming to be young men, our future. God bless us. How often are you still in contact with these young adults as they grow up and they're off having their own families now and they're even maybe coming into the back stages of becoming a mini you? How often sometimes are you still in contact with them? And also, too, as far as people who are leaders and examples as yourself, what is the success rate of these young adults being successful in life by having mentors, examples and leaders in their life, such as yourself? You know, how often are you still in contact with them? You know, what is the success rate? And you know, what is not only just the impact, but do you really feel like that having this mentorship makes this big of a difference, you know, in their life?
Okay, I mean, absolutely, it makes a big difference in their life. And as far as the contact, I'm still in contact with most of them very frequently on different levels. First off is, you know, with this new modern age of technology, you know, with this internet as it is, you know, with Facebook, a lot of my former players, former kids that I mentor, you know, I'll still hear from them. If it's nothing but a Facebook hit from time to time on the birthday, wishing coach a happy birthday, or, you know, posting some memory of some basketball tournament or game or something that we were at, I'll still have contact with them in that manner. And then in a lot of the kids in the Southeast Raleigh community that we service, you know, that's home for them. So they still come home. They still come over to the facility, and they still come and, you know, check on us or give us a call or, you know, and just, you know, see how we're doing or what have you. That still occurs. So, and then we even have some that come back and participate. You know, some of the ones now who, like you said, are having their own families and adults or what have you. They'll come back and they'll help. They'll help some of the youth that's there with us. They'll help. You know, I had them to come back and coach, start coaching. So, or come back and ask if they could help me coach. So, these kids are still around, and you know, once or twice, we still run into some who, you know, they still need advice. You know, they're adults and they're having their own family, but they're running into some situation that they haven't occurred before. So they may reach out for some advice about something. And as far as the success rate, of course, we're going to have some failures. But just to kind of put things in perspective, as I said before, this is my third group of kids that I'm coaching from the age of 8. And they are my current group of kids. They're 7th graders now. So if you want to put that kind of in perspective, there's, you know, 13 to 15 kids on each team. So if you're talking about over 15 years, you're talking about 3 groups of kids, you're talking about 45 groups of kids, so 45 kids. And out of those 45, I've lost one to prison, and I've lost one during a fatal car wreck. And outside of that, every last one of them has gone on to be successful.
Wow.
So I guess when you want to look at a perspective, yep. So,
that's pretty good. That's pretty. And you would say over the years of how many kids altogether?
About 45, 3 teams, 15 kids each team. That's 45 of mine that I had my influence on directly. But within our organization, We have 19 groups of kids per year, and that covers the ages from 8 to 17. And out of those 19 groups of kids, that's 19 different age groups. And so then you probably have about 13 kids in each group, and that's about the number of kids that we deal with on a yearly basis.
Wow. My goodness. That is a phenomenal status. The point and the reason for me asking that question is I want a family to know and understand. Get your kids involved. You know, and what we have as far as the misconception is, we hear the word coaching. Okay, if we can get your kids to follow basic, simple fundamentals, family, that is instilling discipline. Okay. And it's fun being disciplined when you are being disciplined with a group of other kids or their peers. Get your kids involved. You know, find out what they like to do. If it's music, get them involved. If it's football, get them involved. If it's basketball, get them involved. They might like to play tennis. Who knows? They might want to play golf. But get them involved in something instead of being pacified and being babysitted by other things that is not going to instill some type of coaching format where they're being coached by something else that is taking their time and their mindset into something that is not positive. Okay? So get them involved. That was the reason for that question, letting you know statistics. Out of the whole time
He's taken three sets of kids from the rooter to the tutor. He's only lost two on this shift. It's pretty phenomenal. It's pretty awesome. Radio audience, if you still have any questions, please, please press one. We're almost at the end of our show. If you have any questions at all, if you have some issues with, once again, a problem, something that you can do that you may want to add value to your youth or someone else's youth, and it's an issue, it may be mentally, physically, could even be something financially that you may have a question about, something that you can do to make a change, to add value to the title, the topic of tonight is about talking about the youth. So if you have any questions, please press one. Get involved. A question that is not asked is still an issue that's not answered. You got some help right now on the line with a phenomenal young man who has a lot of great experience in dealing with the youth. So get involved right now. If you have any questions, please, please, please press one and fire away. Fire away. But anyway, as we wait on any of the listening audience to ask any more questions, one of the things that I'm fascinated with is the time that you have provided with giving away your time as far as not necessarily, as you said earlier, you get your family involved with a lot of the activities that you do. What is your greatest testimony of your youth that made you a great leader in not necessarily the state of North Carolina? What was it that impacted you that made you want to not necessarily just be passionate? Something else had to take place that made you want to be a part of, I mean, because this is not cut out for everybody. I mean, you know, everybody can't handle kids and deal with a lot of the stress and the hustle and bustle that comes along and have patience like this. So what is it, or what some of the things that affected you as a youth that made you want to not only be a coach but a leader, but want to make a difference in these young adults' life?
I guess that main thing for me would have been I've always participated in sports. I've always been an athlete. And growing up, I played on several very successful teams. And I don't know really how to put it into words so that somebody who has never participated on a team, and even more so a championship team. I participated throughout my youthful basketball career and football career. I participated on about four championship teams.
Wow.
And when you participate on a team like that, there's an element there. There's a spirit that is unexplainable. When you're in the heat of that moment in that championship game or on the way to that championship game, when you're playing those games, there is a force that happens that most of the time you can't really explain. You'll find yourself doing things that you didn't believe you could do. You'll find things happening that you didn't believe could happen. And it comes from a interdependence. It comes from a interappreciation between you and your teammates. And, you know, the principles of hard work are instilled in you. And all of those things are things that I attributed to me being successful. And there are things that I knew that if I could put that into other youth, that it would lead to their success.
That is just awesome. That is phenomenal. I know as a young adult, you know, I had some great leaders that have came you know, across in my life, and that I have paid attention to and learned a lot of great things from. The one thing I can say is my father. Oh man, wow, that guy there, man, I would never ever be able to fill his shoes. You know, even to this day, my hat comes off to him because, you know, I personally think that as a leader in youth, as given stability and given creativity and given discipline, my mother and my father instilled a lot of great things in me that a lot of kids today didn't have the opportunity to have. You know, even me as a parent today, you know, I have to shun myself because there are situations where I gave up, you know, and I didn't hang in there in some situations, you know. And that could have been the difference that could have made something as far as a bigger impact in my youth, you know, in my kids, more or less. And my head comes off to my dad, who was my greatest inspiration as far as the impact, and my mother as far as what they put in me. And I see as you also, too, your mother and your father, they hung in there. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. And they continued to instill and done everything that they could so that we can have the best and the greatest start that we could have in life. And a lot of kids today, that's one of the biggest reasons why they are set apart in other situations that give them a weak kickstand to stand on and moving forward in life. And they end up finding other examples to run into that are not always the best. It's sad that we go out into the public school system and, you know, they get a better sense of security than they get at home today. It's really sad. It really is. It's really sad. But I can greatly definitely say that my parents made a great impact in me and giving me a good start at adding value to show me the difference is and letting me know that I'm important to them and they want the best for me. So, but okay. Thank you everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Martin Abdullah for coming in and being a part of our program this evening. This is Lemuel Pierce, Eyes on You. Tune in with us next Tuesday, 7:00. We appreciate you. Have a good night. And most of all, speak it into existence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.